Welcome to the Institute for Digital Transformation's Digital Dialogue podcast. In this episode, we bring you a thought-provoking discussion featuring experts tackling the pressing challenges reshaping the business world. Listen as they delve into practical solutions and strategic insights that leaders can leverage to excel in today's rapidly evolving digital landscape. Enjoy this engaging dialogue designed to inspire innovation and equip you with tools for transformative leadership in the digital age. Let's dive into the conversation that's driving the future of business.
Hello, and welcome to this digital dialogue where we are exploring strategy to reality for digital enterprises. I'm Wendy Keene, a fellow with the Institute for Digital Transformation, and it's an honor to host this digital dialogue on behalf of the Institute. I would now like to introduce Mark Johnson, Regional Vice President and Executive Leader at Fusion Alliance and Editorial Board Chair for the Chief Data Officer magazine. Hey, Mark, good to see you. And it is also my pleasure to introduce Robert Field, Vice President of Global Information Technology and Digital Solutions at Pressipart. And it looks like Rob is very busy reading.
Excited to be here, Wendy.
Welcome, gentlemen. Great to have you.
Thanks.
So let me just give a little bit of background, very short, to give some intro and some context to our dialogue here. But I'm a longtime practitioner, thought leader, educator, community builder in this idea of helping organizations to do strategy to execution well from end to end, particularly because I see many organizations, especially large ones, are challenged to take their defined strategies and turn them into results in a way that is coordinated and prioritized across products and business units and regions. And I believe that organizations really need to build their muscle for cohesive end-to-end strategy execution, especially because in our world of constant change and disruption, our organizations just need to do change well. And I'm very passionate about getting the whole set of teams to work together, from strategy to architecture to planning to solution to operation, the whole chain. But I've been especially focused on the role of business architecture. And a business architecture is simply a comprehensive blueprint of an organization that helps to inform strategy, to translate strategy, and to really connect the dots from strategy to execution. That blueprint also helps us to design or redesign our organizations with intent and for agility and resilience, and it helps us to make better, more informed decisions. I wrote a book on this topic, which Rob has already shown us there. It's called Strategy to Reality. And since we're having a digital dialogue here, now we're going to bring these concepts into the digital transformation context. So what I mean by digital transformation, we are going to look to the Institute, of course, for that definition. And in the Digital Transformation Manifesto, we are reminded that digital transformation should lead to metamorphic change to an organization's products, services, systems, operation, and culture, amplified by technology. So now let's explore these ideas with Mark and Rob, who are both tremendously experienced digital transformation leaders that I have had the good fortune and honor of working with. And they also understand and have leveraged the power of business architecture for digital transformation. So, gentlemen, looking forward to the conversation.
Yes, are we? Yes, absolutely.
So, Mark, let's actually start with you. Can you share a bit about the unique perspective that you bring to digital transformation and what you found to be the most compelling about business architecture to enable transformation?
That's a great question, Wendy. And part of my answer will be found in the backdrop for my video contribution today. I'm actually in the car on a road trip that was unexpected completely due to a business emergency that I need to manage back in Cincinnati. But for us, digital transformation really means rethinking the way that business is architecturally designed, the way that it operates its entire supply chain, and serves its customers. And so when you think about the vantage point that we come to the table from as a technology consulting organization that sort of brings data, digital, cloud, and technology capabilities together to enable this new business architecture of the future, we see that the IT infrastructure and architecture that provides a digital twin, a operating model augmentation for companies that may have been rooted in brick and mortar in their birth and historic years of operation, can evolve to. And that is a very large, complicated rocket ship journey to the moon that has to be landed. And just using a current metaphor. So I think it's really timely that your focus on connecting the dots in business architecture and digital transformation has brought so much expertise to the table so that the conversation can be better framed. Robert, what would you add to that?
Well, that was pretty well said, Mark, and impressive. From my perspective, I'm going to simplify just a little bit. To me, digital transformation is business transformation using technology as a disruptor. And Wendy and I met, it's going on maybe about a decade now, maybe a little bit more. And the argument stemmed from, where does business architecture begin? And luckily, I was one of the ones that got Wendy's book early. I got the digital copy, but there's a chapter in there that talks about business architecture ensures the strategic alignment of digital for digital transformation. And while you can't do digital transformation without transforming your business, much like Mark just pointed out, that business architecture component will get that strategic alignment as to where the business is going and how IT or technology can help. From my perspective, and I've always been a strong proponent that technology is only there to support the business unless you're one of the CIOs that work for, you know, Apple or Microsoft or IBM, right? Where technology is your product. I'm there just to support the business needs and help them grow exponentially. And ultimately, that's what we do to transform the business, but there has to be a business need. I'm not a fan of technology for the sake of technology. So without that business architecture and that strategic approach towards that digital transformation, which is business transformation, the disruption of technology isn't aligned with the business.
Yeah. Can I add one thing to that, Wendy?
Absolutely.
I love your definition. And I think the pandemic has really shown so many organizations that the technology architecture or the digital transformation of capability to serve really is the pathway to the future. And figuring out how to execute technology as a business strategy well is the key to success.
Mm-hmm. Right on. Well, I really appreciate because you gentlemen understand these ideas in a different way than I think people always do. So I want to ask you both, what have you found to work in introducing and explaining these ideas to your peers and your organizations? Mark, I'm thinking about you. You not only work with Fusion, but you work with client leaders. You're a leader within the CDO community. Rob, I'm thinking about you as a leader at PrestiPart, but also a leader in the technology community. So what are you saying or how are you introducing these ideas to your peers? And Rob, maybe let's start with you first on that one.
So for me, it's about aligning with the business. Being a quintessential New Yorker, I want the business, whenever they have a problem, to come to me. And this is my CXO concept, Chief Execution Officer, rather than, and there's nothing wrong with a CIO, but it comes with trust and execution on the business's strategy. I want the business to come say, you know, the CIO, he's one of us, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're from New York or Chicago or anyone who's seen a mafia movie from back in the day, that's how we solve problems. We solve problems collectively together, not in silos. And we all come to the table and, you know, I want to hear what the business is doing. Most of the time, they have less resources than they do time. And we're there as, you know, as the API for the business. We're there to learn their business and do the best we can to help bring those business units together. So ultimately, it's by partnership, it's by gaining the trust, and it's by really having a a sit down to make sure that we all are on the same page, moving that strategy forward and building the trust as we have full transparency and build that plan or the executing on their plan together to get to a better solution collectively.
Absolutely. Mark, your thoughts?
Well, I'm going to go back to, I love what Robert said, and I'm good friends with, I don't know if Robert, you're familiar with John Zachman. He founded the Zachman Institute for Enterprise Architecture, Information Architecture. And he has a framework. And, you know, John, I met decades ago when I was working in telecommunications, and he posited, his idea was that the business architecture existed before IT, and the goal of IT or the role of IT was to really come alongside and understand and digitally architect the business capabilities that would accelerate the reason the company was in business to begin with. And so if we just think back even prior to his work to the beginning or the foundations of IT, it was really data processing, which just simply purposed to automate the processing of data and accelerate the efficiency of execution in the business model of the business architecture that had evolved prior to that. So if we fast forward to what has happened in the sort of this abstraction or the loss of perspective from a technology point of view as to the purpose and the first and foremost sort of team one job one objective of the technology organization, which is first and foremost to be that business person, be a part of the mission of the company, and to look at ways to take technology, data, and analytics into the mainstream of the operation in a way that evolves the business's architecture in some accelerated and competitively advantaging ways, then we're missing the boat. And so the mission is clear, although I think we're working hard now to get back to a focus on it. But the essentiality of Wendy's message of strategy to reality is that once you have the alignment of the technology leaders and the business leaders to what has to happen in order for the company to be successful in the next two decades, for example, then you've got to figure out how to do the organizational and cultural change management necessary to align the arms and legs on both sides of that equation to execute and sort of land the triple axalt, if you will, land it with, you know, finesse and with a score of tens across the board. And that is not trivial. You're mute, Wendy. I think you're on mute. Yep.
Thank you. Love the audience comments and participation. We have a question here from Simone. So I'll let either of you take as you like. Mark, maybe you from a consulting perspective, but is it alignment or integration? Does the wording matter from your experience in getting that buy-in from the C-level or board?
Oh, I'll just make it short and let Robert add to that. I think it's both. I think it's alignment and integration. I think the mind share. So we work with a lot of C-suite executives. And one client story in particular I'll just throw out is Kroger Corporation, which is now about $135 billion in revenue. They're headquartered down in Cincinnati. And in 2017, Rodney McMullen, the CEO of Kroger, and his leadership team reimagined Kroger's business strategy. And they made data and analytics the number one business strategy, not IT strategy, not technology strategy, but the number one business strategy. And, you know, that was a lot of rope pushing and internal, you know, evangelizing and, you know, prognostications about the future of the grocery, banking, pharmacy, manufacturing segments that Kroger operated in because they're more than a grocery chain. But what a wise business strategy move. And then ensued the change management necessary to culturally land that business strategy move. But it put Kroger in position when the pandemic hit to be digitally engaged across the supply chain and grow in phenomenal ways, serving the customer population in ways that could have been unimagined before the pandemic hit. And it was because of that strategy, that adoption, and that integration across the landscape. But it came from the C-suite first with saying, this isn't a strategy.
Indeed. Robert, anything to add to the integration alignment question from Simone?
So I love Mark's perspective, and it's amazing how much data has become such an asset to an organization. And for a very long time, IT team leaders have been asking for a seat at the table, and that seat became a voice at the table. And ironically, you know, with all the bad that COVID had given our society, it showed the importance of having a strong digital leader within the organization and thus an important strategy. I think it's got to be both, right? Not integration where there's an IT person within every department, but integration where there's an understanding of the business and IT is intimate with the business process, right? So we can help make better decisions so we have alignment and we are working on the same projects and we understand the priority and we're not going in different directions. Having that alignment to make sure that you're together, going there, because over the last, post-COVID or during and post-COVID time, but even before, IT has to have that partnership at that C level. So we're moving in that right direction. So it is the true partnership that has to make that work. Otherwise, you know, with the with data and with that asset that we can now utilize and make better decisions or potentially even sell the data if it becomes an important component with Web3 or IoT and that information. Without that integration and alignment, there's no product.
Right on.
And I just want to let you guys know that, unfortunately, I have a draining battery on my laptop. If I happen to drop before the call is over, I have my wireless mobile device and I will rejoin. So I just want to let everyone know that I do apologize for the theatrics. It's not my usual stuff.
Well, Mark, it's not a rotary phone. It's a transformative device that lets you do stuff online.
Exactly.
Just to illustrate. Awesome. Thanks, Mark. I like one of the comments that was flashing up there that business is technology and technology is business. I think that's sort of a nice way to capture some of the spirit of what we're saying here. A great question on how can the strategist ensure the business architecture isn't entirely aligned with the anticipated strategy? And I think there's such an interesting partnership here, isn't there? There's, you know, as a strategy is being formulated, the business architecture helps us to understand our capabilities and what we can do today and what the impacts of what that might be. And likewise, once the strategy gets formulated, we can do the translation, but still always working hand in hand back to the strategy. So I think the answer to that question is it's true partnership that needs to be in place. But Rob or Mark, would you add anything on to that business architecture strategy question that was there?
I want to ask you a question, Wendy, about that, but I'm going to ask you with an example. And it's my understanding from a little bit of historical research that there was a CEO role that emerged before it was the chief executive officer in the 1800s, in the late 1800s. And the role was the chief electrification officer. So organizations realized that before electricity was harnessed and, you know, made commercial and mainstream, And then manufacturing and lighting and all these other capabilities would become a differentiator, that the folks that could get to that level of capability the fastest would win the game. And so the role of the chief electrification officer came into being as a way to organize the organizational behaviors, the business process, re-architecture work, the construction and deployment of these capabilities. And it was a massive augmentation to the business architecture. So I want to ask you, as you think about the work that you've done in approaching this, and we talk about this topic, in the centrality of understanding that evolving your business, first understanding your business architecture, and then being able to evolve it with changing times and client and customer requirements and supplier capabilities, new roles get introduced, like the chief data officer or the chief analytics officer. How are you addressing that, those changes in this context of business architecture augmentation?
Love it, because this is really in the translation of ideas where we identify maybe we have a brand new capability we need. And then as we think about that capability, it's what are the people, the process, the technology, right, to actually support that? I really like this question because you remind us, Mark, that what we really need to do is think about the capabilities our organization has or needs to have or borrows, right, or outsources from a partner, instead of just saying, here's a strategy or here's an idea, what's the laundry list of initiatives we need to do, right? It's actually having ownership around building these capabilities. So if we think from that perspective, from the, you know, translating strategy into action, that's where you get those new roles or the new technologies or whatever it might be. Now, ideas come and they're in the market, and sometimes we're kind of working a little bit right to left and realizing, oh, other organizations are doing this or they're creating this role, but maybe that actually means we have this capability, right? But it's in that flow. Indeed. Indeed.
I'd like to just weigh in on this one real quick. I have the book I'm leafing through real quick, but on somewhere around the 13th page of your digital transformation section in your book, there's a beautiful roadmap of that that talks about how to keep that alignment and strategy aligned, which goes through, you know, and not only build the capabilities, but your goals and your objectives and your metrics. And that's how you stay aligned throughout that process. So, you know, buy the book.
Right. Exactly.
There might be a thing with all that sales block. You know that.
I love it. I love it. And you know what? Speaking of, I know there looks like there was a question for Rob up there, but you know, you both have been such tremendous leaders and advocates of, among all of your own passions and expertise, strategy execution, business architecture, and also for the book, my book, Strategy to Reality. So thank you. And I just wonder if maybe you could share what ideas you found most valuable or what you think other practitioners and leaders might really find to be insightful. So Rob, let's start with you.
So for me, Wendy, the best thing about the book and what's helped me tremendously is, you know, I've been through your cohort and we've been in and out of your classes. It's, I can pick up the book and understand this section, right? And I'm going to tie it to one of the questions that was answered around too many transformations or too much disruptive technology. But there's a section on governance, right? And when I'm building our you know, digital transformation governance model and how we prioritize things, how you have your business architecture governance or how you decide what you're working on now. An ongoing culture of the change culture is important because if you're not changing and evolving, you're dying, right? And if you don't have that mindset, everyone else will pass you by. If you don't decide to change now and you want to go 3 years from now, you're 3 years behind because it takes time. None of these things are easy. They're all hard, right? Some people think, well, it's two clicks or, you know, you just plug something in. It doesn't really work that way. Sometimes we make it look easy, sometimes we don't, and sometimes we get blue screen death. But ultimately, having that governance in place was helpful. And having this book for me as a reference guide, right? I didn't read it from cover to cover. I read the sections I liked, and then I went back and then I read the other chapters. But that is helpful to me. And that governance is where I started because we were experiencing that same thing. And, you know, we were having some issues around analytics and reporting governance. And we're having a meeting this week to really put a good team in place that is forward thinking, and that was helpful to me. So this is, you know, as I said to you before, having this on the shelf of every C-level executive just to look up and have an understanding of business architecture, because I've met so many great architects in your cohorts, I can't keep up with that, but I can keep up with at least enough knowledge to engage the business architects so they can do what they're going to do.
Perfect. I would just add, I think, Robert, I would wave the book around as well, but I think it's in my trunk. And I've got my cell phone mobile hotspot going and my laptop battery draining. So let me just say this. I think the entire book is a great, and I wanted to give it out before it could be given out because, you know, I'd read the manuscript before it was published. But, you know, being a good partner and collaborator, I respected the confidentiality and privacy of it. But I think it's a manual that every member of the C-suite and all the leadership in the organization should be required to read. I really believe that the whole idea, I mean, everybody comes up with strategies, and strategy, if you think about it, a strategy is really an approach to accomplish some objective, some strategic objective. So now we come up with a bunch of strategies or a strategy to get there, from the idea, which is a point in time in the future, that we want to accomplish to the point in time in the future with the idea in reality, right? We've done it. The bridge between the idea or the objective and the accomplishment of it in the future is this bridge of strategy to reality. It's this roadmap. How do we get there? And we haven't had a tool like your book, Wendy, that we could put in the hands of our leadership teams who are being tasked with figuring out what the strategy should be, but not just for the sake of having a good one written. And how many clients do we know, Robert, that have 18 different, you know, information technology strategies on the shelf or data and analytics strategies on the shelf? They have generations of them, not well executed in any case. So I would prefer to have a team really understand some new tools. And that's what I think the book brings. And human change management, that dimension is, I think, the most important element. And I can't remember the chapter where you deal with it, Wendy, off the top of my head, but the change management conversations and the practical tools and ideas for how you can advance that game are really critical, I think.
Excellent. And well said. You know, it's interesting to hear you refer to it as well. I wrote it as a bit of a desk reference. That's part of why it's written through the lens of questions. You could sort of quickly flip to those. So very, very well said. Very well said. Well, let me ask you a question kind of from the flip side. What happens in transformation if an organization doesn't have a business architecture? What can't you do? Or what could happen? Any thoughts on that?
Robert, do you want to take that one?
Yeah, I think we started to touch on that a little bit. Thanks, Mark. You need a roadmap. You need a plan. And without it, it'll become the Wild West. I mean, too many times in my career, we get inundated with requests on, hey, let's try this, let's do that. And then if you don't have a strategic plan, the business starts solutioning for you, and then it's a lose-lose, right? Comes in with a problem. Let's do a business architecture around what we're trying to do, and let's find the right technology to disrupt what you're doing, and let's get all the right people in place. My team, you know, as an internal employee, we don't have all the right answers, right? I look to my networks for guidance. I look to consultants for guidance. I look for vendors. And ultimately, the right people will come to the table to help us find the right solution. But if we don't have a plan and we don't have a business architecture strategic roadmap, then there's going to be too many transformative projects, and we're not going to know which ones are priority, and we're not going to know which ones are getting us the right ROI. And without that, I think that we're not going to get the best trust and the best impact out of our business growth.
Yeah, and I just add, failing to plan is planning to fail, and that was true the day it was said, and it still rings true today. And yeah, especially when you're approaching something as complicated as this new world of digitizing, really, the way that we do business across the landscape.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Any more questions? Welcome from the audience. Otherwise, we'll start wrapping here. I know that we're just about at time. So, Mark, I'm going to actually start with you for closing comments in case, here we actually do have a question from Michael. With the tremendous concepts mentioned in the book, how do we get these strategic concepts embedded within IT organizations, which don't always have a supportive culture? Please, both of you, would love to hear on that one.
I am just going to say, buy everybody in the IT organization a copy of the book and make it mandatory for them to read it by a point in time on the calendar. And organize discussion groups around the concepts with the goal of applying a principle or two around the initiatives that are going on. I am 100% serious. Swipe your credit card, buy the book. And this is not a plug for Wendy for sales. Yep. This book is a tool and it should be read. People perish for lack of knowledge, and here we have an opportunity to give them some. So let me pause before I go to the altar of this church behind me and start reading.
Awesome.
And Robert. And I have to agree with Mark on that one, but I think it takes one step further. And while Wendy and I argued for years on business architecture sitting in IT, because, you know, I want to own it and I want to make sure it gets done. But ultimately, without the business understanding that, a lot of times in IT, you're only as good as your last failure. And you could do as much. You know, I tell my team, we might have to take 1,000 steps for every one the business takes. And that's our role, right? We're a service organization, not servitude, service. And if we don't get the business on board with this business architecture concept and we start talking about capabilities and, you know, putting this course of plan in place, then it's a foreign language to them. And then we're just forcing an agenda that they are not, they're going to come to say, well, why are you asking these questions? It's an IT problem. It's not. Digital transformation using technology disruptor. Let's find out what your strategies are and let's then find the technology together to build it.
Indeed. Exactly. Can we please have the business team read it too? Mike White says, we do need understanding.
Knowledge is power. Power is a motive force. Power moves things. Therefore, knowledge moves things. So we should have the entire business organization go back to school in Wendy's classroom. I'll drop the mic on that.
Yes, I love it. I love it. And it should be in business school, right? Yeah. We've recently done research with the MBA roundtable to illuminate a gap in how completely strategy execution is taught in graduate business education and the opportunity to include business architecture. So for real, it's gaining traction and it's essential thinking. Indeed.
Awesome.
Yeah. So with that, anybody, throw your closing comments up there. We'd love to hear your last thoughts too. But Mark, let's hear your closing comments first. Anything else you'd like to leave us with?
No, I think I've closed. I let the mic out of my hand, so I'm going to give it over to Robert. Thank you for inviting me, I guess I would say. And thank you for inspiring me to and trusting me to be, reviewer of your manuscript. And Wendy, I think you've done a great service to the world of digital transformation in action. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Robert, closing comments from you. Last words.
But it was a pleasure, Mark. I mean, I know we haven't spent much time together on this. It was really great to hear you. I appreciate it. And Wendy, I'm very excited for you and for the signing. If you come to New York for the book signing next week. And again, if everybody doesn't buy this, then and for their entire team, as Mark put it so eloquently in what he wrote in Wendy's book, it's the secret sauce to getting things done in your organization. And you can read what Mark said and read everything Wendy wrote in the book. And I think it's a great start to really tying your entire organization together, getting everyone on the same page.
I do have one final comment that occurred to me. Robert, thank you for that. And I want to come to New York and hang out with you. So I think we're going to...
It's fine. You can stay here.
if you want something you've never had, you've got to do something you've never done.
Yeah.
See, doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results is the definition of insanity, not success.
Yes.
So I think that's the message of the book. And that's the reason why you're talking to academia about bringing this topic to a focused conversation inside business school. And we can do so much in our organizations, as Robert is doing in his, and as we're doing with our clients, to advance the success of these initiatives. And I think that's really key. So thank you so much again.
Thank you. And there's a quick question on the NYC event. So the book launch is coming up Tuesday, 20 September, 12 to 3 p.m. at Il Patio di Italy Flatiron. So stop by and visit, drop in anytime. So with that, here's to a movement for better organizations and societies through the ideas that we're talking about here. Mark and Rob, I cannot thank you enough for sharing your precious time and expertise with both of us to have two colleagues who I just revere and respect and appreciate so much. And a conversation together was really something special for me. And you're both exceptional humans in all that you do to give to others in work and in life. So thank you. Thank you to the Institute for hosting these digital dialogues. And thanks to all of you who joined today. Thank you for your support. Thank you for those of you who are watching this later. And with that, I wish you all the best and we'll see you on the next digital dialogue. Thanks, everybody.
See ya.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to Digital Dialogue. New episodes premiere most Tuesdays at noon Eastern Time, live on LinkedIn. You can find upcoming events on the Institute's LinkedIn event page. If you missed the live session, catch the replay anytime on our YouTube channel or listen on your favorite podcast platform. Stay connected and join us again for more insights and inspiration.